This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome, O Ramadan. You are honored, O month of the Quran. It is Ramadan. O one who sleeps, stand up and declare the oneness of Allah, the oneness of Allah. Welcome, O Ramadan, you are honored, O month of the Quran, it is Ramadan.
Assalamu alaikum and a very warm welcome to the Philosophy of Fasting. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah. All peace and blessings be upon Muhammad, his last prophet and messenger. As usual, we have Dr. Hatham Al-Dad joining us in the studio today. Assalamu alaikum, Doctor.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you so much for joining us in the studio. Well, Doctor, we're talking about the philosophy of fasting, of course. And today I want to take some time to talk about the definition of fasting. Who should fast? How break the fast? How do we do that?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. Let us take the definition of fasting. Okay. And once we understand the definition of fasting, we can go further.
Deeper. Okay, great.
Fasting is to abstain from certain acts, from certain point to another point during the month of Ramadan, if it is fasting Ramadan. But fasting in general is to abstain from certain activities in a particular period of time.
Right.
This is fasting. So what are those activities that we abstain from? Generally speaking, having food, having drink, and having sexual relationship.
Okay.
We said within a certain period of time. What is that certain period of time? The beginning of that is
Fajr. Yes.
Dawn. And the end of that is Maghrib. No. Sunset. So again, we can say is to abstain from having food, having drink, having sexual relationship from Fajr, Dawn, all the way until Maghrib. Uh-huh. Now you can see here that there are three basic elements of this definition.
Of course.
The first one is the abstention, to abstain.
Yes.
The second one is the activities that we need to abstain from. Mm-hmm. And the third one, you can say the timing. Okay?
Okay.
So the first one is to abstain. The second is the activities that you need to abstain from.
Right.
And the third one is the timing.
Yes.
So these are the three main elements in the definition. These are the three main components of the definition.
Sure.
Once we understand those three components, we can go deeper, as you said.
Yes.
For example, when we talk about to abstain means you intend to withhold. You intend to abstain.
Okay.
So you can say that the main element of abstention is the intention is itself.
Yes.
that I intend to abstain from those activities. And here, there is a difference, for example, between a person who slept from Fajr until Maghrib, just like this, and a person who did not eat because he doesn't want to eat, or he feels that it's better not to eat.
I see an interesting point there, Sheikh.
But another person who does not drink and eat because he wanted to make this as an abstention, that is fasting. Mm-hmm. Okay?
For sure.
So that abstention is considered to be ibadah. But just to abstain for nothing is not ibadah.
Definitely.
And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no fasting for the one who does not establish the intention to fast during the night time.
SubhanAllah.
So in Ramadan, or the obligatory fasting, the person has to plan to fast tomorrow. Mm. The person has to have intention that he is fasting tomorrow.
SubhanAllah, Dr. Hatham, you've just brought something to my attention there by listening to your discussion, that if you don't intend to fast and you do fast, however, your intention is not for fasting and you stop in bed all day, this is not fasting, SubhanAllah. You know, if you're bored at home and you're fasting in Ramadan, you must have the intention previously. It's a very interesting point there.
That is important.
Mm, definitely. Okay?
And why? Because it is an act of ibadah. Mm-hmm. And we have said, as we mentioned it previously, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, actions are judged by intention. Mm-hmm. So if there is no intention, no action.
Of course.
Or no valid action. Uh-huh. Okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there is no fasting for the one who does not establish fasting or the intention of fasting during the night time. Now, some scholars said that it is sufficient to have one intention for the whole month. And some other scholars said, no, you have to have an intention to fast for every day. Now, just before I get into this discussion, I would like to clarify, what does intention mean?
Yes.
The philosophy of intention, because we are talking about philosophy of Sharia, philosophy of fasting. Intention is something established in your heart, what your heart wanted to do.
Definitely.
What you plan to do. Mm-hmm. It is not something that you utter by your tongue. Mm. And some people mistakenly think that intention is what you utter by your tongue. So they say, oh, whenever they want to pray, I am praying for rak'ah before the imam, hadir, etc.
Yes.
That is not intention. Mm. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never mentioned the intention by his tongue. Except maybe you can say during Hajj time.
Definitely.
During Hajj time or Umrah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifies the type of nusuk that he was about to do.
An interesting
but
point.
To say that my intention is this and this is what your tongue uttered, maybe your tongue will utter something that is not in your heart.
Definitely. Of course, people may say this just to show off. I can stand in front of an imam and say, I pray this. It's, again, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in here.
Exactly. So if Allah knows what is in here, then what is the point of talking about it?
Exactly.
And moreover, when you talk about it, you might make mistake by your tongue.
Exactly.
If it is in your intention correct, then what counts is what in your heart.
Definitely.
The intention.
Definitely. Dr. Hatham, over the period of time we've been making this program, you know, I've had time to reflect on my own beliefs of Allah. And certainly it's made me empowered more to learn more Sharia, to learn more philosophies of not just fasting, but all of Islam.
Yes.
It's very
helps
interesting.
A lot.
Yes.
It helps a lot to understand the wisdom and it is good not to and this is what we are having in this program, not to have complete dichotomy between the rulings or fiqh and Sharia. Or as some people like to say, between Sharia and Haqiqah, the spiritual part of the actions and the rulings regarding or related to those actions.
Definitely.
It's not too good to have that kind of separation or dichotomy between both.
Yes, of course, Dr. Hatham. It's brilliant that we have this time and chance on Huda TV to bring the Muslim community together. So before, you know, we carry on, I just want to, what message can we give to the viewers to make sure their intention is right?
We are saying that the person has to link his heart with Allah Jalla wa Ala all of the time. So it is true that there are some obligations. We don't need to do those obligations just to get rid of them. We don't need to think of those obligations as burden. We need to think of them as blessings from Allah Jalla wa Ala.
Definitely.
And that doing those intentions will what? Doing those actions will raise our status,
of course,
in the sight of Allah Jalla wa'ala.
Inshallah. An interesting point there, Dr. Hatham. However, what if, you know, the Muslims say, okay, I'm praying to Allah, my intention is for Allah, why is he not giving me the car that I want, the house that I want? Why am I being oppressed by the oppressors in such countries?
This is a good point, inshallah. At one point we need to discuss
address,
that
sir.
And address it in details throughout the discussion related to the philosophy of fasting.
Inshallah.
But let us go back to the definition.
Yes.
Okay, we said that the first element of the definition is what? Is the intention,
of
to
course.
Abstain out of intention.
Uh-huh.
And we said that some scholars said you can have one intention for the whole month, and you can, and some other scholars
of
said
course, yes.
that you have to have one intention
every day.
For every day. Now, what is the consequence? Mm-hmm. What is the difference? Those scholars who said that it is enough to have one intention for the whole month means what? Means, okay, I am a Muslim and obviously I'm going to fast the whole month of Ramadan. This is a valid intention. This is sufficient. Okay? This is sufficient.
Okay.
But the other scholars said you have to have this in mind for every day.
Of course.
What is the difference? The difference of both can be clarified in this scenario. Take this scenario where a person lost conscious before Fajr because he had an accident. He had a car accident. Let us say a person had a car accident or whatever accident before Maghrib, before the Maghrib time.
Okay.
And then he continued like this without conscious, until what? Until Fajr. So he spent the whole night not awake.
Right.
So this person did not establish the intention to fast the next day during the night time.
I see. Interesting point there, Sheikh.
Okay.
We must have a quick break though there. Do apologize to cut you off there. Well, thanks for watching. Stay tuned. We'll just take a quick break. Salaamu Alaikum.
Welcome, O Ramadan. You are honored, O month of the Quran. You are honored, O month of the Quran.
Assalamu alaikum, and a very warm welcome back to the philosophy of fasting. Doctor, before the break, we were discussing, you know, everything about the fasting. And we mentioned the point where if your intention is not correct, and we were at a point where you mentioned if a person was sick from Maghrib until Fajr and his intention was not for fasting. So carry on, Doctor.
Yeah. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah. This is an example where the difference between those scholars who said that one intention will be sufficient for the whole month.
Mm.
And the other group of scholars who said that you have to have a separate intention for every day.
Okay.
This example clarifies that difference. So if a person lost conscious before Maghrib and he woke up after Fajr, which means that he did not fulfill the criteria mentioned in Hadith Hafsa, the Hadith that we just mentioned, that there is no fast for the one who does not establish the intention to fast during night.
I see.
So this person, during the whole night, he lost conscious, without conscious. So it means that he cannot plan to fast tomorrow.
I understand.
He cannot have intention to fast tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So if he woke up after Fajr and he said, what time is it now? Oh, let me just continue.
Yes.
Fasting. Okay? He said, now I am fine. I am obliged to fast. Mm-hmm. So let me continue. Will that day be acceptable as a valid fast for him?
Yeah.
Or because he did not have the right intention before Fajr,
sure.
Fasting is not valid for him.
Mm.
Those scholars who said one intention is sufficient for the whole month, they said that fast is a valid fast for him.
Mm-hmm.
Those scholars who said, no, you have to have a separate intention every day, they said that you have to make up this day. This day is not a valid fast. Can you see the difference?
It's a huge difference there. Yeah.
I hope that our brothers and sisters watching this program put yani attention to this difference.
Definitely. I want to pick up on that point there, Dr. Hatham, because, okay, it's a very crucial point, the difference between if your intention is for the month or every day. So, for example, if my intention is every day and I don't get up for Fajr, but I intend to fast, I don't break my fast or anything like that. I just don't get up for Fajr. Is my fast still valid?
This is different from the case that we mentioned.
Okay. Right.
We mentioned the case that the person lost conscious before Maghrib all the way until Fajr.
Right.
This is different from a person who wakes up for Fajr only, but he was aware, okay? He did not lose conscious after Maghrib. Uh-huh. So he prayed Maghrib. He prayed Isha, he prayed Taraweeh, okay? And he had his conscience.
Right.
So this person, if he's a Muslim, of course he's planning to fast tomorrow. That is a valid intention. Even if that person missed up Fajr time, that is not a problem for the validity of fasting. Fast is still valid for him.
Okay.
Okay? So that I hope that
yes,
it clarifies
it's got to be very clear.
The point. And that clarifies the difference between those scholars who said, no, you have to have a separate intention every day, and those who said one intention will be sufficient for the whole month.
I see.
So this is the matter of intention. Okay?
Definitely.
The second important element of the definition is the abstention or the activities that we must abstain from.
Right. Yes, definitely.
Okay, because we said to abstain from Fajr until Maghrib from certain activities, from being involved in certain activities. What are those? Having food, having drink, and having sexual relationship. Mm-hmm. Now, the question that is related to philosophy here is, why are those, why do we need to abstain from those activities?
Definitely, I totally agree with you, Dr. Hatham, because in Christianity, before I reverted to Islam, we never fasted. However, when you come to the East, they do fast. The Christians do fast. It's not like the fasting that the Muslims observe, but it's, you know, it's an interesting point to understand.
In the East, for example, Copts in Egypt, and some Orthodox in I think Greece, they fast from certain types of food.
Yes, that's correct. Yes,
I remember I had a colleague who was Copts from Egypt, Egyptian Copts, and certain times he would not eat non-vegetarian food.
That's it, yes.
And I asked him, I don't know whether that is absolutely true or not. He said that this is like fasting.
Yes.
But for Muslims, and what Allah legislates is to fast completely from having food, drink, and sexual relationship.
Of course.
These are the three main activities that a person has to abstain from.
Sure.
Now, when we discuss, now, when we say why, of course, those are the main desires every single person has.
Definitely.
Having food, having drink, having sexual relationship. These are the main desires every single human being has, is common between all human beings. Of course, some other human beings have some other desires. For example, having fun.
Yes.
But Sharia did not say that you have to fast from fun.
Of course.
Not to be involved in fun. Or not to laugh, for example. Yeah? Or maybe not to speak as previous nations.
Yes.
You know, when Maryam gave birth to Isa alayhi salam, and she brought him to her people. She said that إني نذرت للرحمن صوما فلن أكلم اليوم إنسيا. She said that I had nether, an oath upon myself to fast. So during that time, fasting was a little bit different from our fasting, or totally different from our fasting. They used to abstain from certain other activities. But for Muslims, we must fast, abstain from those activities that Allah Jalla wa Ala indicated to us.
Of course. It's not fair to say, Dr. Hatham, when you're fasting, you should refrain from certain activities, the three activities we've just mentioned. However, is it possible that we can have fun? For example, we can laugh and joke. Is it not better to spend your time maybe reciting the Quran or something?
Jazakallah khair, brother. Jazakallah khair. This is a very important point. Now, once we talk about the philosophy of fasting, and we said that Allah Jalla wa Ala prohibited us from those activities that are related to our desires. Does it mean that Allah Jalla wa Ala wants us to control our desires and to be devoted more for ibadah?
Yes.
And maybe to minimize the time we need to spend in having fun, in having other activities that are not related to ibadah directly. This is absolutely right.
SubhanAllah.
This is absolutely right.
Yes.
That's why in the other hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the one who does not abstain from shahadat al-zur, false testimony, and foul speech, Allah Jalla wa Ala is in no need for him to leave his food and drink.
SubhanAllah.
So here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if you are leaving, this is the meaning, if you are leaving food and drink, then obviously you should leave haram activities such as foul language, such as bad language, such as false testimonies, and so on.
Backbiting,
and all of these things. And there is one interesting hadith about backbiting. Maybe we do not have time to speak about that hadith.
Yes, unfortunately.
But you are right that these are the three main activities that we need to abstain from, technical perspective, but there is a philosophy behind it, which is what? To devote yourself more in ibadah and to leave anything that is considered to be bad in general.
Of course. Thank you so much for that, Doctor. I really appreciate your support on the philosophy of fasting. Until next time.
Jazakallah.
Well, I guess, viewers, we've learned today the philosophy of fasting. Please, brothers and sisters, stay tuned and keep watching for the philosophy of fasting. Until next time, assalamu alaikum.
Welcome, O Ramadan. You are honored, O month of the Quran.